Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Hager, Acting Director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Joining us in our conversation from IBM is Solly Thomas. Mike, one of the other major initiatives at OPM has been a focus on improving performance management systems across the federal government, partly as a way of improving individual performance, but also as a way of improving organizational performance. Could you talk a little bit about this initiative?
Albert, again, I'd be delighted to do so. Another one of my favorite areas. I'm going to break this out into several sectors. This is a complex question requiring, I believe, kind of an exhaustive response. And I'll lead off by saying that two primary purposes of performance management systems are, one, to communicate and clarify organization goals to employees. And then secondly, to identify individual and, where applicable, team accountability for accomplishing organizational goals. It's great that we're talking about these kinds of things, where we're talking about goal setting and we're talking about metrics to track it. And we're talking about input and communications back to the employees on the tracking toward those goals. Customers love this stuff, and particularly when we're holding the team or the individual accountable for the accomplishment of a specific goal. OPM's Human Capital Accountability and Assessment Framework established the performance culture standard. And let me just, if I could, just highlight that for you. The agency has a diverse, results-oriented, high-performing workforce and a performance management system that differentiates between high and low levels of performance and links individual team unit performance to organization goals and desired results effectively. This is for real. This really happens. It's a very robust program where we track actual performance of an agency to these, and folks are being held accountable for this today. The past 5 years have included intensive efforts by OPM and agencies to meet this performance culture standard by designing, implementing performance management systems covering executives, covers managers, covers employees that are linked to organizational goals and focus on achieving results. It's very results-oriented. It's driven to specifics. It's driven to outcomes. It measures outcomes. And then you feed that back to the individual, the team, et cetera, or the agency in total. I'd like to then move into another major component, and that is the recognition of performance, the President's Quality Award. I had the pleasure of hosting this program, and it was just a real joy, it was a pleasure to be part of it. The Office of Personnel Management administers this presidential award for management excellence, and the President Quality Award, what we call the PQA, is the highest award given to executive branch agencies for management excellence. The award was established back in 1988 to recognize excellence in quality and productivity, applying to the public sector similar criteria used for, and all of you will remember, the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Improvement Awards. We used the criteria that's very similar to that for this award program. Now, in 2002, this PQA was redesigned to recognize federal agencies that best achieve objectives of the President's Management Agenda, the PMA, as we call it. There were three award categories: overall management for agency performance and integrating their management systems under five government-wide management initiatives. There was agency-wide performance and government-wide management initiative for agency performance, one of five government-wide management initiatives. And finally, innovative and exemplary practices for a specific practice falling under one of five government-wide management initiatives, that is, innovative and exemplary.
That's great. If I may change gears a bit, could you tell us how OPM is streamlining the hiring practices, such as decreasing the hiring decision time frames and facilitating the start of new hires? And what's the status of OPM's pilot on a new government-wide end-to-end hiring roadmap?
Albert, maybe one of the most sought-after challenges to the HR community from our customer base in federal government. How do we get this hiring process fixed? How do we streamline it? How do we get it away from perhaps some bureaucracy of the past? And OPM is leading the effort to overhaul how we recruit and how we hire workers of all ages. One of the primary goals is to ensure that the applicant experience not only attracts, but retains the person as well beyond the one-year mark. I mean, it's one thing to attract to hire. It's another thing to make sure that we don't lose and we don't end up attracting and hiring even more. We're tracking four key areas in recruitment and retaining individuals: timeliness, communication, the use of plain language in job announcements, and applications. In working with the various agency missions such as acquisition, information technology, law enforcement, etc., we're able to direct our recruiting and retention efforts toward matching not only the individual skill sets with jobs available, but also individuals with missions that are appealing to them and make them want to stay beyond the first year. What we call the end-to-end hiring initiative is well beyond the pilot stage, with full implementation beginning this last September. We have asked agencies to baseline their operations against key metrics such as timeliness and applicant satisfaction, and to set targets for achieving the overall 80-day standard for fiscal year 09 and report out on such activity in December of 09. By the way, we are also launching an initiative to streamline the applicant process for SES positions by eliminating huge amounts of paperwork that has historically been required and reducing that to what in private would be called a resume, just a simple document that's a resume without going through mountains of detail and documents of the past. Real excited about that program as well.
Mike, staying on the hiring topic for a while, I want to talk a little bit about hiring technologies and tools. Could you tell us about OPM's efforts working with the major internet search engines to raise the visibility of the federal job postings? In particular, we'd like to hear about how USA Jobs, that is the federal government's job posting portal, is working with major search engines to expand the reach of the federal government recruitment efforts.
Solly, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And we're just absolutely delighted with what has transpired, where we're taking technology to the hiring process. OPM has been very active in raising the visibility of federal job openings through the use of major search engines and other private sector venues. Most private sector job boards derive their revenue by charging a posting fee and through advertising. If you can imagine even a slight fee, the number of jobs we have in the federal government, that slight fee can turn out to be a huge annual cost to the federal government, to the taxpayer. Selected major search engines, starting with Google in 2007, agreed to accept USA Jobs posting at no cost. Isn't that incredible? We've created a standard jobs feed, which provides daily current vacancies as reported by federal agencies to OPM. Increased exposure has been very effective as the number of applications per vacancy has increased from an average of 25 to 45 per announcement a year ago. Now get this, a year ago, 25 to 45, to over 125 announcements this year, just 1 year. Now, a staggering number, and you have to get ready for this. There were over 50 million employment applications through USA Jobs last year. That was just for the competitive service vacancies. If you want to get a perspective of how big the challenge is for OPM and the HR shops within the federal government, 50 million employment applications through USA Jobs alone last year.
Well, it's impressive in two ways. One, that USA Jobs can handle that volume, but second, the level of interest in federal jobs these days. Mike, I understand OPM is exploring ways to possibly rehire federal government retirees as well as retain older employees. What are some of the critical challenges associated with these approaches, and what do you see as some of the benefits to rehiring these retirees?
Well, Solly, there are multiple reasons to encourage continued contributions by individuals toward the end of their working careers. And these individuals have decades of working knowledge and experience and are at the height of their ability to contribute. They can hit the ground running and perform many tasks without the need for additional training or development. Many short-term projects can be performed without the need to take employees and you know, go through long, lengthy training programs. In periods of transition, they can be extremely valuable and aid in training newer employees and providing continuity. In short, I'm a strong believer that retirees are a valuable potential asset, and we must take actions necessary to change that potential into productivity. Now, OPM has submitted two legislative proposals to help improve our efforts in this area. The first would reform a technical provision in the government's older retirement system, the Civil Service Retirement System, which discourages individuals from transitioning to part-time employment at the end of their career. Now, the second would encourage already retired individuals to return to government employment on a less than full-time basis. Of course, it will have no impact on unions.
Thanks, Mike. And I want to talk a little bit now about leadership development. You'd alluded to some of the major responsibilities OPM has in that area. A recent global human capital study conducted by IBM showed that over 75% of the human resource executives we interviewed believe that they're having difficulty developing future leaders. Now, I know that OPM has been trying to address this within the public sector. Maybe you could talk about some of the efforts OPM has been pursuing to ensure the continuity of leadership in the public sector.
It's one thing to hire leaders. It's another thing to make sure you inspire leadership, make sure you continue to invest in leadership. And I think in the federal government, we're doing an incredible job. I am so impressed, having come from private, just how well the federal government performs in this area. OPM offers exceptional experiential learning, hands-on practice, and unbeatable networking opportunities at our three delivery centers, the Eastern Management Development Center in West Virginia, the Western Management Development Center in Colorado, and the Federal Executive Center in Charlottesville, Virginia. Our open enrollment programs meet the needs of all federal employees. Our custom programs are carefully crafted, and we have a very capable team who create these programs. We have lots of PhDs and an incredible a group of experienced leaders that do this work for us. They work closely with agency partners to meet the needs of the organization and their workers. Executive development has been a mainstay of the what we call the Federal Executive Institute for almost 40 years. This is a program in Charlottesville. It was created in 1968 for the sole purpose of developing senior government executives. And today, FEI, the Federal Executive Institute, offers a complete portfolio of programs, starting with aspiring executive, those individuals and those employees in senior management positions that have desires and aspirations of moving into senior positions. FEI also offers a wide variety of programs for the newly selected executives as well. It's one thing to bring them on board. It's another thing to make sure we constantly invest in that resource. Recently, I approved the Leadership Education Development Certificate Program, what we call LEAD, utilizing the OPM Executive Core Qualification Model as a foundation. The LEAD Certificate Program provides a fully integrated method of leadership development. And Sally, two other programs which we're also very proud of at OPM include the Presidential Management Fellows Program, the Federal Candidate Development Program, and both of these programs are serving the federal government well by identifying and training excellent leaders for all departments and agencies. I am, again, extremely pleased with what I've seen in contrast with what programs are offered in private industry. Again, a lot of private would farm this work out. We do most of this work in-house, and we're just absolutely delighted with the outcomes.
Mike, we've been hearing a lot about the human resource line of business, or HRLOB, effort, which is being led by OPM. What types of services are offered by federal shared service centers, and what are the expected impacts of the HRLOB on the federal workforce?
Having come from private with, I think, a very strong background in line of business shared services in the private sector, the vision of the HR line of business in government is focused on modernization, cost-effectiveness, standardization, HR solutions by providing common core functionality to support the strategic management of human capital and addressing the duplication of HR systems and processes across federal government. We're able to leverage the resources. We're able to eliminate costly duplicate resources and focus our attention on best of class and taking whatever's best of class and applying it across the federal government. Under the human resource line of business concept of operations, the services that agencies must obtain from these shared service centers are those relating to HR information systems and payroll operations. I don't know too many people anywhere, whether it be federal government or private, that if you assured them that they will get like a payroll check, my payroll check, and it's accurate, I have a full description of all the components of deductions, and it's on time. I don't care where it's done, as long as you can assure me those critical components are met. And that's the concept that we're talking about here, where you leverage those operations. Customer agencies are not mandated to seek non-HRIS services from the shared service center in the near term, but the migration of more transactional processes into the shared service center may help an agency achieve overall operational efficiencies and increase its focus on strategic management of human capital as opposed to being involved in processes that may not add value, again, so long as they're accurate, fully described, and they're delivered on time. The HR line of business customers include executive branch agencies, their HR personnel, and the 1.8 million federal civilian employees. Other HR line of business stakeholders include Congress. We periodically meet with Congress on our delivery of those services. Government-wide councils, including the Chief Human Resource Capital Officers Council, Chief Information Officers Council, President's Management Council, Shared Service Center Advisory Council, Small Agency Council, Federal Acquisition Council, Federal Financial Officers Council, and by the way, the Budget Officers Advisory Council, and the service providers. A lot of councils, but this program's working to meet their needs, and I see it in the future becoming more and more valuable across the federal government.
What does the future hold for OPM? We will ask Michael Hager, Acting Director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.